Hello and welcome to the Florida CPA Today podcast with Mia Thomas, former chair of the FICPA and current director of learning curriculum development for the FICPA. And now it's time to hear from your host, Mia Thomas.
Thank you for joining us on today's podcast. Today we will discuss Florida, right?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, today we have Dominic Calabro. He's the president and CEO of Florida Tax Watch. Thank you, Dominic, for being with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mia.
And with us, we have Karen Lake. She's an associate director and leader in the state and local tax practice of Berkowitz Pollack Brandt Advisors and CPAs.
So, Dominic, there's a lot of things going on right now with our state. You have been a champion for all of us individuals, corporations. Mm-hmm. You have kept an eye on what's going on in our community, and we're so blessed to have you with us today.
Well, thank you, Mia. And I think that you said it well. The founders of Tax Watch include, from particularly South Florida, former Senate President Phil Lewis, and was a Democrat, and then Republican Ken Plant. They were roommates back in the day. They actually worked together, not against each other, worked together for the good of the community. The Tax Watch was formed in 1979 and is now viewed as the eyes and ears of all the taxpayers of Florida, not only the wealthy, not only the professional, but also the working families. And through our project, even working with some areas in promoting the 2020 census, Tax Watch is really working hard to make sure all people in Florida, citizens and non-citizens alike, are counted in the census so that we'll have the wherewithal, the federal funds, to serve them, and also hopefully increase the likelihood of getting not just a second congressional seat, but also a third congressional seat.
That's very exciting. I read that we can.
It's really important, and because this allows us to have better representation in the Congress. And in the 2010 census, Florida had either non-count or undercount of as many as 1.3 million people in some areas.
Wow.
And so it could have cost us as much as $2 billion a year over 10 years. That's potentially $20 billion. And there's a greater likelihood, because of the fear about immigration and a lot of this talk on a national level, that a lot of people are afraid to come forward and be counted. But if you're not counted in the census, then in some real respects, you don't count. And we're going to have to provide services to these people anyway. So we want to make sure they're counted. We get our lawful fair share. But here's the point. Florida's the third largest state. The third or fourth fastest growing of all 50 states. So even if we counted every single person properly on April 1st of 2020, in 5 years, for example, we'll have like almost 2 million more people that came from Ohio or Pennsylvania, which is part of the SALT, state local taxes that Karen Lake and others were going to be talking about on this podcast. They're going to come here, and we're going to have to provide services to them, but we're not going to get the funds. So that's about another maybe $2.5 billion a year. That's a lot of money. As you can see, right now we're closing in on the end of the 2020 legislative session in Tallahassee. I assure you that the legislators, House and Senate members, the governor, Republicans and Democrats alike, would love to have another $2 billion, or $2 billion for education, for teacher pay, for restoration of the Everglades, to address sea level rising, so many critical things that make Florida the envy of the world. And it's like anything else, you can't sit on your laurels. So I think one of the things we're really proud of is that Tax Watch has helped through many years, through four decades now, working with our Constitution and our elected officials and other great organizations like the Florida Institute of Certified Public Accountants to make sure that we don't breach the constitutional bounds, that we don't allow our tax system to be invaded by those that want to spend money we don't have, that we don't have a state personal income tax, that we were able to phase out the inheritance tax, the estate tax, with the federal elimination some years ago. Tax Watch really led, and had the help of the CPAs and others, to phase out the dreaded intangibles taxes, property taxes, intangibles.
What's
tax.
What's the value of your stock? Seriously?
Exactly. So people, as you know, Mia, people were moving their assets out by the end of December.
December 28th.
And sometimes moving them back in January 2nd or 3rd. Correct. Some never moved them back. So Tax Watch led over years to have that phased out. It was about a 1.2, almost would have been $1.5 billion tax. So we're proud that we got rid of a tax that was harmful to everybody. We did it in a way that did not cause disruption for core functions of public safety, medical assistance to the poor and children. So those are really critical things. This time now, in this session, looking at the fact that Florida is the only state among the 45 or 46 states that have a sales tax, we have a sales tax on commercial rents. It's odious, it's unfair, it's some kind of sometimes double, if not triple taxation.
And we're the only state with the sales tax
on commercial rents. Yes, we are the only state.
Yes, we are, yeah. Right. So taxer sees us as a clear outlier. That is one of those things that, look, we have a lot of things that are inducing people and business to come here, but this is one that's really harmful to our current residents, our current business owners, and also current renters. So it's not just on the business owner. It means that, and I've talked with a colleague down here, Keith Koenig, with City First. She said, Dominic, I really want to build another couple shops. I can't do that because I have to spend this state and local sales tax and use tax on this commercial rent that none of my competitors in other states have to pay. So that's a clear one, and I think we're going to reduce it. Well, unfortunately, we've been reducing it, in my estimation, too small an increment.
We've been reducing it, Dominic.
We have been.
We've lower, been effectively reducing it.
Lower is better than none or raising it. But when we got rid of the intangibles tax, what we did, we took it off in clips. I mean, we got the governor's firm commitment. Originally started under Governor Childs, then Governor Bush took it. Great praise for Governor Jeb Bush. He worked with Tax Watch to do that, and actually he signed, the poster where he signed it, mission accomplished. But we took it off by bringing it from 2 mils to 1.5 to 1.0 to half of a mil, then out. We wanted 4 years, but over 8 years because of after 9/11. So we need to do more and do it more aggressively. The other area that Florida has a very, very high tax on communication services tax. That's a tax on your cell phones, your home phones, office phones, and the like. It's a very harsh tax on people, seniors, and people of modest means because it's really increasingly a life necessity, communication. We pay as high as 15.5% mm-hmm. state and local together. And we want to bring that down. Now, there's a bill that's looking to do that, and TaxWatch is working with other sectors and industries to bring that down. Senator Gruters, who's the chairman of the Republican Party, is also taking a great lead. Another area that we're looking at is very, very important, is not besides the business rent tax, which we've got to do, is look at capturing and creating fairness for our brick and mortar retailers and customers and residents and communities. And it's a function of the Wayfair U.S. Supreme Court decision that was rendered, I think, in June of 2018. Right after that pass, I called a couple of organizations because TaxWatch has and continues to do a lot of research in that area. Look, we want to continue to have a sales tax as our main form of taxation. Other states like having a personal income tax. We don't. Floridians hate and detest a state personal income tax, particularly the federal, which is a progressive one. So to make sure we don't have that, we've got to make ensure that the taxes we do have mm-hmm. are modern, that are up to date, that reasonably and seamlessly collect the taxes that are lawfully owed on remote sales. What we're now doing is giving foreign companies invading our markets or those outside the state, like outside the country, or large businesses outside the state of Florida invade our markets, produce little or no benefit to the community except maybe transportation costs by selling things remotely. There's probably somewhere between $2 to $3 billion a year in sales tax revenue that we're not collecting. If we were to start collecting it, a Senate analysis said under one of the proposals, it looked kind of in an area initially of about $700 million. What we could do is use that $700 million to pay down that business rent tax so it doesn't really cost the Treasury really any money, and it would be essentially revenue neutral. So those are the kind of things we think are going to be very important to continue to make Florida the envy of the nation, if not the world.
Help encourage people that people are moving out of high tax states. They're looking at Florida and Texas. They're leaving New York, New Jersey, Illinois. They're looking at other states. These incentives that Florida Tax Watch is supporting encourage people to move down here because it's a low tax state already, but these will reduce the rate and create the environment where they can live. Climate, they say people move for the climate, but it's like 1% of the population moves for climate. They move for a new job, they move for the ability to enjoy their life. There's a lot of retirees that we bring in.
Karen, you're so right. I mean, I think clearly capital flows, investments in capital flow to those communities, to those states and communities that encourage it, that don't overtax it. Listen, you have to have some taxes. We know that. Mm-hmm. We're not anti-tax. We're not anti-government because in our constitutional democratic republic, we, the taxpayers, we the people, own the government. We just hire a governor and a cabinet and our legislators for, you know, up to 8 years in their seats under our constitution, and as well as our school board members and city commissioners and county commissioners and the like. You know, to make this work, we have to be cognizant that increasingly competitive environments, which the founding fathers of our nation really encouraged, we have to be competitive and cannot sit on your laurels. So it's, what are we doing next? How do we make sure that not only are our costs low, but we take that money and we make sure Florida remains the pristine state, because we're only as good as our last hits,
right?
You know, and we're very cognizant of that. The reason why the FICPA is vital today is because the leadership of Deborah Curry, the volunteer leadership behind her as well, and Mia, you, and the rest of the team, Justin and others, but also because of volunteers and board members like Karen Lake and others, as well as the Tax Watch board members. Karen's an active member of our board and others. So this is important to ensure that we don't sit on our laurels, but we find how we can reduce taxes strategically, expand it to tax things. By not taxing the remote sales, we're actually hurting. So we can do two good things with one basic shot. Collect remote sales, use that money to reduce odious and highly non-competitive tax, business rent tax, which is an outlier. So right now, Florida's an outlier in two regards. We're only one of two states out of 45 that has a sales and use tax that's not meaningfully, in a meaningful way, capturing remote sales. And we're the only state among the 45 that taxes the sales and use tax on business rents. We can do a great thing by combining those two together. It doesn't look like it's going to happen this legislative session in terms of the remote sales and the Supreme Court decision on Wayfair that said it's authorized and here's a scheme to do it in a reasonable, thoughtful fashion without violating interstate commerce. But that's probably going to be next year. But in the meantime, we will see a slight reduction in the business rent tax. We'd like to see that eliminated over, like, the intangibles tax over a defined period of time, and then see the economy grow so we can support the critically important functions that make Florida so special.
Very nice. Now I'm going to go on the flip side, mm-hmm. and I'm going to ask you about one of my favorite holidays is the sales tax holiday. So is that coming back for 2020?
It is, and I think it's a real favorite. When it first came out, Florida tax, we looked at it in a little skeptical manner. It's a gimmick of sorts. Yes, it is, but it's also a beneficial one. Basically, middle-class families, average families and middle-class families, not just the wealthy, but can really enjoy a benefit that's very broad, and it's done at a time that helps advance purchase of school supplies, sometimes mm-hmm. Small clothing and like, or hurricane supplies that help advance a good public mission. So I think it's something that we've come to enjoy, we've come to like. It's not tax reform, it's a tax benefit, it's a tax break. We understand it as for what it is, and it's something that people really enjoy. So yes, indeed. I want to leave on this note that we are very proud to continue a great partnership with our accounting profession, particularly this pristine profession that of the Florida Institute of CPAs. We've been working together for close to 40 years of Florida Tax Watch's existence. I know you all have been
since
around.
Since you were 10, is that it?
and I know the Institute has been around much, much longer. I think it's really important, particularly all the work that you do, and working together, we will continue to make Florida, again, the envy of the nation, but also really valuable for all the people, whether they're dependents of government services, whether they're school kids, whether they're working families or small business owners, or mid-sized companies. Florida doesn't have a lot of large companies and a lot of professionals. But having those standards and having the confidence that those finances mean exactly what they say is really, really important. And so adding the accountability that Tax Watch brings to state and local government is also critically important to make Florida, again, the state of the envy of the rest of the nation. So we appreciate your opportunity to do this.
Well, it's been a privilege and an honor to have you with us, Dominic. We are so excited about all the things that you and your team do to help the businesses and individuals in Florida. So thank you again.
And if anyone wants more information, Florida Tax Watch can be reached at www.FlorIDA, F-L-O-R-I-D-A, TaxWatch, T-A-X-W-A-T-C-H, .org, FloridaTaxWatch.org. And the phone number is 850-222-5052, 850-222-5052.
My name is Karen Lake. You can reach me at klakebpbcpa.com or 305-960-1202. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have on credits and incentives nationwide. Thank you.
If you'd like more information on our conferences and learning opportunities, visit our website at www.ficpa.org or call 850-224-2727. Until next time, keep smiling.
Continue the conversation with the Florida Institute of Certified Public Accountants. Become a member and follow us on social media for today's trends and hot topics.